In your Bibles, please, as we turn to what we call the penultimate chapter of the book of Exodus. Penultimate simply means the last minus one, right? The second to last chapter in the book of Exodus, chapter 39. Verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired Word of God. And of the blue and purple and scarlet they made cloths of service to do service in the holy place, and made the holy garments for Aaron as the Lord commanded Moses. And he made the ephod of gold, blue and purple and scarlet and fine twined linen. And they did beat the gold into thin plates and cut it into wires to work in the blue and in the purple and in the scarlet and in the fine linen with cunning work. They made shoulder pieces for it to couple it together. By the two edges was it coupled together. And the curious girdle of his ephod that was upon it was of the same according to the work thereof, of gold, blue and purple and scarlet, and fine twined linen, as the Lord commanded Moses. And they wrought onyx stones enclosed in ouches of gold, graven as signets are graven, with the names of the children of Israel. And he put them on the shoulders of the ephod, that they should be stones for a memorial to the children of Israel, as the Lord commanded Moses. And he made the breastplate of cunning work, like the work of the ephod, of gold, blue, and purple, and scarlet, and fine twined linen. It was foursquare. They made the breastplate double. A span was the length thereof, and a span the breadth thereof, being doubled. And they set it in four rows. They set in it four rows of stones. The first row was a sardius, a topaz, a carbuncle. This was the first row. And the second row, an emerald, a sapphire, and a diamond. And the third row, a ligure, an agate, and an amethyst. And the fourth row, a beryl, an onyx, and a jasper. They were enclosed in ouches of gold in their enclosings. And the stones were according to the names of the children of Israel, 12, according to their names, like the engravings of a signet, every one with his name according to the 12 tribes. And they made upon the breastplate chains at the ends of wreathen work of pure gold. And they made two ouches of gold and two gold rings, and put the two rings in the two ends of the breastplate. And they put the two wreathen chains of gold in the two rings on the ends of the breastplate, and the two ends of the two wreathen chains they fastened in the two ouches, or fastened in the two ouches, and put them on the shoulder pieces of the ephod before it. And they made two rings of gold and put them on the two ends of the breastplate upon the border of it, which was on the side of the ephod inward. And they made two other golden rings and put them on the two sides of the ephod underneath, toward the fore part of it, over against the other coupling thereof, above the curious girdle of the ephod. And they did bind the breastplate by his rings unto the rings of the ephod with a lace of blue, that it might be above the curious girdle of the ephod, and that the breastplate might not be loosed from the ephod, as the Lord commanded Moses. And he made the robe of the ephod of woven work of all of blue. And there was an hole in the midst of the robe, as the hole of an habergeon, with a band round about the hole, that it should not rend. And they made upon the hems of the robe pomegranates of blue and purple and scarlet and twined linen. And they made bells of pure gold and put the bells of the pomegranates upon the hem of the robe, round about between the pomegranates, a bell and a pomegranate, a bell and a pomegranate, round about the hem of the robe to minister in, as the Lord commanded Moses. And they made coats of fine linen of woven work for Aaron and for his sons, and a mitre of fine linen, and goodly bonnets of fine linen, and linen breeches of fine twined linen, and a girdle of fine twined linen, and blue, and purple, and scarlet of needlework, as the Lord commanded Moses. And they made the plate of the holy crown of pure gold, and wrote upon it in writing, like to the engravings of a signet, Holiness to the Lord. And they tied unto it a lace of blue to fasten it on high upon the mitre, as the Lord commanded Moses. Thus was all the work of the tabernacle of the tent of the congregation finished. And the children of Israel did according to all that the Lord commanded Moses, so did they. And they brought the tabernacle unto Moses, the tent, and all his furniture, his tacks, his boards, his bars, and his pillars and his sockets, and the covering of ram skins dyed red, and the covering of badger skins, and all, and the veil of the covering, the ark of the testimony, and the staves thereof, and the mercy seat, the table, and all the vessels thereof, and the showbread, the pure candlestick, with the lamps thereof, even with the lamps to be set in order, and all the vessels thereof, and the oil for light, and the golden altar, and the anointing oil, and the sweet incense, and the hanging for the tabernacle door, the brazen altar, and his grate of brass, his staves, and all his vessels, the laver and his foot, the hangings of the court, his pillars and his sockets, and the hanging for the court gate, his cords and his pins, and all the vessels of the service of the tabernacle for the tent of the congregation, the cloths of service to do service in the holy place, and the holy garments for Aaron the priest and his son's garments to minister in the priest's office, according to all that the Lord commanded Moses, so the children of Israel made all the work. And Moses did look upon all the work, and behold, they had done it as the Lord had commanded, even so had they done it. And Moses blessed them. May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his most holy word. If I might, for a moment, I'd like to digress and start at the end of the chapter rather than the beginning of the chapter. In the second portion of the chapter, really, beginning in verse 32 and 3, we have all of the stuff being brought to Moses. And he's going to inspect it. He's going to look it over. Did you notice the order in which it was presented to Moses? Beloved, it is the same order that we have seen in the giving of the pattern, in the construction of it, and now in the presentation of it. We're going to see it once again in the next chapter. We're going to see everything presented to the Lord or before the Lord to Moses in this same order. And we're going to reiterate why the order is important. Because it is that which pertains to God's perspective and not the people's perspective. When we come to worship the Lord, we want to come to worship Him, as we say, from His perspective and not our own. It is the wrong question to ask ourselves, what did you get out of the worship service? The right question to ask is, what did you bring to the Lord in the worship service? It is His perspective, over and again, that is proclaimed in this order. First, we build the tent. As soon as the tent is built, then we go inside out from the holiest of all, then to the holy place. Then we come outside the tent and we have the brazen altar and then the laver. It is always in that order. It is presented over and over again in that order because worship belongs to God. It is our service to Him. We call it a worship service. Why do we do that? Who's being served? Beloved, this may come as a surprise to some of you. Hopefully not, because we've said this over again. But you're not the one being served. God is the one being served. We come to serve Him. We are still offering offerings today, as we learned in our reading of Hebrews chapter 13. We're offering the sacrifice of praise, the fruit of our lips, making mention unto His name, and to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. Sacrifices haven't stopped. because the temple and tabernacle have been torn down and replaced with that more spiritual worship. We are still offering spiritual sacrifices, Peter will tell us in 1 Peter chapter 2. We come to serve God. This order tells us that over and over again. Okay, so that's the end of the chapter. And notice that Moses inspected all that was given, all that was brought, and it was indeed according to the pattern. And we will note what a blessing that is when worship is given to God according to the pattern revealed in the mount. That is, according to His good word. When every element of the worship service is tied to the pattern in the mount. When worship is, as it were, regulated by the receiver of that worship. When he says, worship me this way, and we say, thy face will I seek. Okay, so there's that. Let's talk about the priestly garments. Remember that that's always, as far as all of the stuff that is built, that's the last thing mentioned, the priestly garments. Right? Because that is that outward moving in toward God. And that's the last thing. And so what kind of clothing do they have? Let me say in a couple of brief comments here. Number one, when we see the Lord Jesus Christ in visionary form presented to us in Revelation chapter 1, we see him presented as a priest. It is his priestly character that is being presented there in his dress. He's wearing that fine twined linen, right? He has that robe put upon him. And so we are reminded, as John no doubt was, because remember John the Apostle, right? We remember that John the Apostle saw the Lord Jesus Christ transfigured on the Mount of Transfiguration. His glory, although still veiled, the veil was, as it were, pulled back a little bit. We remember also that John saw the glory of Christ, he will say in John 1:14. That is, he beheld that divine glory of Christ in all that he said and did. And now here in visionary form, he sees him as that white-headed one with eyes like a flaming fire. It speaks of his antiquity. It speaks of his omniscience. But also in those priestly garments, it speaks of Christ in that fine linen as the great high priest of his people. So the priestly character here, the priestly garments are very, very important. The word ouches, I know that, you know, it looks like ouches as you look at it, but this is simply 17th century English for a setting for a gemstone, right? Some of you have perhaps a diamond ring on today. You have a ring that has some kind of gemstone, maybe a diamond, maybe an emerald, maybe something else. But it is in an ouch, a setting. There's something that keeps it there. It doesn't depart from that place, right? That is, it is often fingers of gold that are opened up, the gem is set down in it, and then those fingers of gold are tightened up like that so that that diamond never leaves that ring. It's an ouch. That's what the 17th century English word means. It's the setting for the gemstone. And how many of them were there? 14. There were two upon the shoulders. And in those shoulder pieces, we will remember that six tribes were on one shoulder and six tribes were on the other. And so our great high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ, bore the sins of his people upon his own shoulders. Secondly, there were 12 other ouches with gemstones in them on the breastplate of this girdle, this ephod, if you will. And what was there? 12 different stones, each representing one particular tribe. And beloved, it is no surprise and it is no outlandish thing that when we see the holy city described in Revelation chapter 21, that its foundation is made up of 12 precious stones. The people of God dwell in that holy city. the 12 precious stones are there. Notice also the Bible is clear to tell us in earlier chapters that Aaron bore those 12 stones upon his heart. 2 upon his shoulders, but 12 upon his heart. He bore all of their sins upon his shoulders, divided into 2, but individually over his heart they must be divided into 12. Because our great shepherd calls his own sheep by name, does he not? And they are precious stones. They're not dirt clods. They're not common stones. This isn't granite and quartz and other such things. These are polished gemstones with the writing of a signet on them. But we'll note something also that is, I think, curious in the passage. The Lord will say that this robe that is worn by the high priest, that translates into the ministry of Christ, is like a habergeon. You know what a habergeon is? A habergeon is a piece of armor that a knight, for instance, would wear. It's a piece of excuse me. Got a knot in the back of my throat. It's a piece of mail, right? Chain mail that falls down over his body and protects him from arrows and thrustings with spear and sword. It's chain mail with a hole in it. And so notice that the great high priest also wears something like a habergeon. And this reminds us, does it not, that our Lord's high priesthood is a warring high priesthood. That he must conquer sin and Satan and death. And that he is indeed that great warrior priest. He wears a habergeon. But it is on that habergeon that his people are found. Because in his great work as high priest, he saves not only himself, but them. Then we find also he has a hat that he wears, a covering over the curse. Remember, the curse, it appeared in Adam's brow. No longer does the curse appear in Adam's brow, but there's a plate that is fastened right to the front over the brow. And it says, it no longer says sweat, stink, defilement. It doesn't say that. What does it say? Holiness unto the Lord. This great high priest of ours is holiness unto the Lord. And he carries his people into the beauty of his own holiness. Well, all of these things are designed to inspire and to cause us to think of our great high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's one more thing I'll say and then we will close. And that is that normally we as people, in our fallen estate, in our carnality, we don't have a stomach for this kind of detail. So many details, Pastor. So much is said there. Why is so much said? So that we will understand that God Himself is exacting. He Himself in the approach to Him will be served in a very exacting way. And so we will be discouraged from thinking of ourselves, that we might enter into that fellowship alone. We will think ourselves inadequate to come into His presence. That we come by way of His priest, who in every detail met the holiness of His Father. With that then, we'll stand and continue praying.